Flunked the test.
Hallelujah. confusion's my companion, and despair holds me for ransom. I will feel no fear. I know that you are near. When I'm caught deep in the valley, with chaos for my company, I'll find my comfort here, 'cause I know that you are near. Forgiveness is my fortress. Oh, your mercy is relentless. My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weakness, my sickness, my brokenness, all on your shoulders. Your shoulders.
You do lift us up on your shoulders, and that our help does come from you. Lord, we don't want to admit it most of the time, but we can't do it without you, even if we think we can. Lord, so we thank you that you are carrying us through the hard times, that we can put our trust in you, that we can rely upon you. Lord, we thank you for carrying us. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Thank you. from my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family.
Good morning. Today we're going to talk about the fourth topic in our Advent season, the gift of peace. So before we start, let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for this Advent season. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who came and he came and he died for us so that we could have access to you. Lord, we thank you, and we think of his birth now, and I just pray that the words that whoever wrote this sermon gave to me, Lord, that they affect us and they become powerful to us and they become very meaningful for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you see these symbols, what do you think of? And if you can't think of it, I gave you a little hint up there. First, we have the circle peace symbol. Then we have this one. And then finally, we've all seen that one too. So these three images, they're very different from each other, but they're all very recognizable as signs of peace. Interestingly, not one was developed out of an abundance of peace, but rather out of the need for peace. What we know as the peace sign, not that guy there, was first developed by a British artist and activist named Gerald Holtham in the year 1958. The emblem was based on the flag semaphore movements for two letters. Whoops, I'm ahead of myself. First one was the letter N, which has the two flags pointed down and at angles. And then the letter D, which has... What is going on here? Hold on. There it is. Wow. This is touchy. The letter D, which has one flag straight up and one straight down. And so the letters N and D together, they stood for nuclear disarmament originally. He also said that the symbol was very personal. There it is. As it represents a man with his arms outstretched in despair. The symbol was used in Britain to protest the making of nuclear weapons. And when it was brought to America, it was used for broader purposes in the civil rights movement. And later, during the Vietnam War, it was an anti-war symbol. What about this one here? This one actually started out as a sign of victory, not peace. I'm sure a lot of us who are older have seen the pictures of Winston Churchill flashing this sign. But it actually started with resistance fighters in German-occupied territories. And they would use it for victory, and then Winston Churchill adopted it. And eventually it came to stand for the end of conflict. Later in the 60s, it was adopted as an anti-war symbol by Americans who opposed the Vietnam War. The dove and the olive branch, this image was used in many traditions throughout history, but the Christian symbolism comes from the Old Testament account of Noah and the flood. That's where we know it from. Noah sent out a dove to search for land after the flood was over. And the dove returned holding an olive branch, indicating that the waters were receding and that land was near. It was a sign of the promise of peace after the storm of God's judgment. So while we immediately associate peace with these symbols, none were born out of peace. All these images came about because of a desperate need for peace in the midst of conflict and unrest in the world. Peace is defined as freedom from disturbance, quiet, and tranquility. But it's often in situations that are exactly the opposite that we most recognize our need for peace and the power of the peace that God provides for us. We see peace most clearly not in the absence of noise, suffering, and conflict, but in the midst of it. This is the world that Jesus came into. The song Silent Night conjures calm, soothing, peaceful images in our mind, and it's often a worshipful 3-minute respite in the midst of our hectic holiday preparations. But that original Silent Night was not actually very silent at all. The world was not at peace. There was a divide between God and people. There was conflict among families and nations. There was political tumult and Roman oppression in Israel. There was demanding physical travel forced on Mary and Joseph by Roman politicians. And there was unrest in the hearts of many. But in the midst of all this, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Messiah, was and is many things that the prophet Isaiah foretold he would be. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." But it's important to remember that Jesus is not just a symbol of peace, he is peace. And the Prince of Peace offers us the gift of peace this Advent season. This was part of his original birth announcement that was made by the angels. Luke records in chapter 2, which we're all familiar with, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" If you've been able to be here for the last 3 weeks, you know that we've been going through the season of Advent, and we've so far unwrapped the gifts of hope, love, and joy. The word Advent itself means coming or arrival, and the season is marked by an expectation, a waiting, anticipation, and longing. Some of the best Advent seasons I had was when the kids were small. We'd have the Advent calendar, and we would open it up day by day in anticipation of Christ coming on Christmas. Advent's not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert and watch for his second coming. During Advent, we light candles on a wreath, which represent aspects of Jesus coming into a world lost in darkness. As we celebrate with our own Advent wreath this season, we light an additional candle each week, as we've been doing for the last 4 weeks. Each flame that we light brings us closer to the arrival of the true light of the world, born in Bethlehem. Hopefully, it builds excitement and anticipation for all of us. We're almost there. We're going to mark the day Christ has come by lighting the Christ candle. And God will be with us. He will be Emmanuel. Today, we light the fourth candle. We lit it, the candle of peace. Advent's a season for allowing God's peace to infiltrate our hearts and minds as we prepare for his coming, this coming Christmas, and for his eventual return someday. What an appropriate time and season to recognize Jesus as our peace. Really, our world's not much different from the one that Jesus stepped into a couple thousand years ago. We're certainly more technologically advanced today, but our fast-paced, high-tech capabilities in many ways have added to our anxiety, our stress, and our fatigue. Our fatigue, especially at the relentless pace of our lives. The scenery and process of daily life looks very different, but we still strive and struggle to subsist and exist. Our world rages with wars and violence. Governments and politicians rage and clamor. While we certainly have so very much to be thankful for in our lives, in our community, and in our country, peace can and does very easily get squeezed out in our daily lives. Think about this. Have you ever been somewhere that suddenly got very quiet? Perhaps you've been in a building when the electricity goes out, and then you can't hear the buzzing of the lights or the appliances or any of the other sounds. Maybe you've been outdoors on a summer night, and then the crickets, for whatever reason, stop cricketing. I just made that up. Sometimes we don't even recognize that the noise is around us until it stops, and then all we hear is silence. Can you really hear silence? The same can be true for the peace in our lives. Sometimes we're so used to the hustle and bustle that we don't even notice the noise, chaos, and unrest until it's gone, until we take the time to experience peace and allow God to silence the other noises that invade our lives. During this Advent, we're recognizing a season that helps us to take that time to reset our hearts and minds and be still and listen and wait. Peace is the gift we unwrap today. Let's look at a couple of different ways that peace manifests itself in our daily lives. The first is peace with God. There's a bumper sticker, hopefully you've seen it, says, "No God, no peace." No God, no peace. It can sound trite and cliche, but there's actually some truth here. When we know God, we experience peace because of who Christ is and what he did in coming to earth, living among us, dying on a cross, and resurrecting to defeat sin and death. It's easy for us to associate his life and work on earth with salvation. But the Apostle Paul made an important note in Romans that we are wise not to overlook. So Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." Jesus brings and allows us peace with God, our Creator. Our first and greatest need for peace is to be at peace with God. Our sin naturally separates us from him. From the time that sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden, humans have been at odds with God. Our sin and his holiness are not compatible at all. They're not at peace. They're at conflict with each other. That's why no conflict on earth can compare to this need for peace between God and his creation, especially us humans. And it's the reason that God sent Jesus to earth that very first Christmas. Through Jesus, we can be justified by grace through faith. And when we believe in Jesus and accept his salvation and forgiveness, we're at peace with God. The barriers of conflict and sin are removed, and we are right with him in unity, identity, and purpose. This eternal peace with the Creator is the greatest gift we can receive this season, and it's available to all of us. It's where we all start with receiving Christ's gift. It's where we all must abide and return. We belong to God in Christ. We are unified with him. We are his. May we all lean into and experience the peace of this reality throughout this Advent season and beyond. Then there's peace within. As I mentioned earlier, there is so much to draw or drag us away from the peace of Christ. Fortunately, God knows the unrest that we feel in ourselves. He made you. He knows your deepest thoughts, your hurts, your joys and desires. He knows that you have a deep-seated need for peace within. And he knows that the broken world surrounding us and all the unrest clamoring is working against that. He knows this. So, Paul offered up these words in Philippians chapter 4. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That, aside from being a beautiful benediction, is a beautiful promise. That is the type of powerful peace that we can experience. Look at the phrases, especially God's peace that transcends all understanding. It defies our world and our circumstances. It fills us when everything that's going on around us is not conducive to peace. In other words, it shows itself most strongly in circumstances where peace just does not make any sense. Maybe for you that means a tragedy or an illness or a conflict or a heartache. No matter how bad your situation, God is there with you, offering the gift of his peace that's stronger than whatever difficulty you face. We're fortunate as Christians to have that peace. Could you imagine not having that and then going through your life? All the difficulties and trials that we face, and not having God's peace to fall back on or to see as like a laser beam through it all. I can't imagine it. And yet we were all there at one time. Notice, too, that while this peace is calm and restorative, it's also strong and active. It has the power to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's strong enough to defy our worst nightmares. I think one thing that's interesting about this verse is that we often take it as a type of formula. That's just the way we are. We take things and we make them into formulas or acronyms or whatever so that we can remember them and do them. If we can just manage to pray and thank God and ask Him about everything, then we'll get peace, right? That's what it says. While Paul was describing these actions as part of a practice of peace, we should remember it's not just a formula. It's nothing that we follow. It's a way of life. We must remember that God gave the gift of peace in the form of a person, Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. The verse before this passage tells us that the Lord is near. And that's an important starting point. Jesus' presence with us is the reason that we don't need to be anxious. He's the reason we have peace within. He is Emmanuel, God with us, who offers us the gift of peace beyond understanding that guards our hearts and our minds. And as we practice the actions of prayer and petition and thanksgiving, we do so to connect with Him. Peace comes as a result of the transformation we experience as the Holy Spirit shapes our perspective and realigns our heart. Our troubles may rage on, but the Spirit gives us new eyes to see, and the peace of Christ guards us and calms us and changes our outlook. We still go through the same trials and troubles, but we have a different outlook on it now. May this be the practice and the power of peace that we experience not only for this Advent season, but going beyond into the future. And speaking of that, we need to talk about the peace that is to come. So we've looked so far at the gift of peace with God and the peace within, but what about peace without? What about the situations we can't change, the relationships that are broken, the chaos that we can't calm, the hurt we can't heal, the violence we don't understand? What do we do with the need for peace in our world? This again is where we recognize the two-pronged nature of the Advent season. We wait for Christ's coming, and at the same time we wait for His return. The peace we long for in this world is a peace that's still to come. It's the final restoration promised but not yet realized. In the meantime, we wait with longing for the day when God's peace will reign on the earth. Until then, we can turn to the words that Jesus spoke to His disciples. We can hold on to them closely until we see Him face to face. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, "I've told you these things." This is Jesus speaking. "I've told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world, you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Again, we see God's recognition of the brokenness we live in and among us. He knows. He understands how and why we can become discouraged. But here, he encourages us to remember the person of peace, Jesus. In Him, we have and find and remember peace for our present and for our future. There is peace today, and there is complete peace that's yet to come. In the time between, we trust in Jesus' promise that He has indeed overcome the world. And in the meantime, we return to Jesus. It's similar to the process that Paul described in Philippians 4. It's a continual returning and renewing with our Lord and our God. It's the deepening of our relationship with Him. And it shapes us and holds us and carries us to all we are and all we can experience because of Him. Where's your chaos? Where's your warfare and unrest? Let me encourage you that Jesus is bigger than all that. He, the Prince of Peace, is more powerful than anything that this world, Satan, can toss at you. This is the peace that I long for. I lived for too long without it. As we celebrate this Advent season of waiting, let's recognize that we wait with longing for God's peace to be made perfect in our world. Let's also remember that the peace of Christ is here and now, and it's waiting to fill us all. So let's pray, please. God, thank you that in this season of Advent, we can unwrap your gift of peace. Help us to live in that peace. You provided through Jesus rest in the peace that you give in the midst of life, and trust in the peace knowing you've overcome the world. Fill us and hold us with your peace as we encounter you and experience the depth and richness you provide both now and forever. Amen. And I want to finish with benediction, but we're not finished after I give you this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all.